I've heard a lot of things come up lately about this topic of heaven. You may have seen some movies come out recently that talk about the topic of heaven. A lot of near-death experiences. If you go on YouTube and search for near-death experiences, there's no shortage of videos of people claiming that they have been. A lot of people believe in heaven. Even if they don't believe in God, they believe in heaven. A lot of people say that they have been themselves, that they have encountered lost loved ones, that they've seen pets they used to have, that they've been lifted up on the shoulders of others and kind of paraded around, and there's this sense of the feelings that they experience, the emotions. There's a lot, often the description of a real positive emotion that they feel. And a lot of people hearing these stories, they get very fascinated with them because they give them a sense of hope that there is a place after this where all of my wildest dreams will come true. Unfortunately, a lot of these stories also share another trait, and that is there's little to no mention of God. If we compare the stories that we're hearing with Scripture, there's actually a lot of difference. A lot of the stories that we hear, maybe not all, but a lot of the stories that we hear of near-death experiences are all stories about me, how I felt, the people that I got to talk to. Whereas the stories that we see in Scripture are often stories that revolve around Jesus. So what does the Scripture say about heaven? As we consider what is after this life, what does the Scripture say about heaven? In John chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man." Now, that's pretty confusing because we have these descriptions of heaven that we know inherently. You know, where did they come from? Did they come from the Bible? And if so, well, how do we mesh that together with no one has ever gone into heaven? This is coming from Jesus himself, so we have to take a look at that. Well, there are four people in the Bible who have had visions of heaven. That's not quite the same as actually entering into heaven, but there were four people who had visions of heaven, and there were an additional two people who had glimpses of heaven. Of the glimpses, we read in the book of Acts of Stephen, who was being stoned for his faith. He looks up into heaven, and he sees the heavens open, and he says, "I see Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father." So again, it is about God on his throne. We see Micaiah, who describes the Lord seated on a throne, surrounded by angels. There's no mentions of creature comforts. There's no, the mentions of heaven are very brief, and they're about God on his throne. There's no mentions of what things we get in these descriptions or what kind of things we'll get to do. It's not really focusing on us that much. Of the four who had visions, not those two were glimpses, of the four who had visions, three of them wrote about it. Isaiah writes in chapter 6 of his book, "I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple, and around him were angels." He goes on to describe the angels. And he talks about falling on his face before God in fear. That woe is me, I am ruined, for I am an unclean man with unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the Lord Almighty. It's all about God on his throne. Ezekiel writes about God in chapter 1 of his book. He starts off talking about the angels, and these are no angels that we're used to seeing on a Hallmark card, the little baby cherubs with the rosy red cheeks and the wings. These are frightening angels with many wings and eyes all over their wings. It's a terrifying sight. But he ends chapter 1 by saying, "I saw the Lord seated on a throne." And he goes on to describe God being surrounded by angels. John writes about his vision in the book of Revelation in chapters 4 through 6. And he talks a little bit about heaven, but he talks about some events that are happening at the end of time. He talks about the horsemen that are coming. He talks about the Lamb. And where do you think all of these descriptions happen? Around the throne of God. God is seated on his throne, and the horsemen are reporting to him. The Lamb of God comes up and sits on the throne. Everything that is happening, all the visions that are happening, the common point is the throne of God. God is on his throne and everything is reporting to him and being seen around him and below him, but the focus is the throne of God. Heaven is mentioned nearly 700 times in the Bible, but it's not described so much as it is mentioned. And when it is mentioned, a lot of the focus is God on his throne. Now, when I was researching this, I thought, well, this something doesn't mesh with me. I've heard the descriptions of the pearly gates, the streets of gold. Where does that come from? So I started looking into it, and that's actually New Jerusalem. That's not heaven per se, but John writes in the last couple chapters of his book that he sees the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, that it will land on earth. This is where we see heaven and earth colliding. So if you want to get really technical, it's not really heaven, but it's heaven on earth in a sense. And that is where we see the descriptions of the pearly gates, the streets of gold, architecture that is made out of all of the precious stones, the different gates with the apostles' names written on them, as well as the tribes of Judah. And we see the Garden of Eden being restored. But the emphasis here, too, is on God. Even when we see New Jerusalem, the emphasis is on God. John writes, I looked and I didn't see a temple. Surely the city of God, you would see a temple, but he says, I didn't see a temple because God is the temple. And there were no lamps. There was nothing else to give off light because God is the light. And there were no tears because God has wiped away every tear. So constantly the focus is on God. But what about the stories we have from people nowadays who say, hey, I had a vision or had a near-death experience. I entered into heaven. God can grant visions. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17, it says that in the last days, your young men will have visions, your old men will have dreams. So it is possible that God could grant a vision to someone of heaven. But I hesitate to believe someone's words are truly from God if God is not in that vision. Particularly if someone is not saved, they don't have a saving knowledge of God. We know that is requirement to go into God's heaven, that you have to have that relationship with God. So if someone does not have a relationship with God and claims they had a vision and God is not in it and they have no relationship with God, I get a little bit suspicious about that. What we see clearly in God's word about heaven is that it's not about us. A lot of the descriptions we hear is all about us, but when we read about it in God's word, it's not really, the focus is not on us. And this has some application for us in the here and now, not just in heaven, because this life is not about us. Heaven's not about us, and this life on earth is not about us. It's all about him. We were created for God's glory. It's not about what we want, what will make us happy, or creating a heaven on earth by ourselves. We were created to glorify our Creator. Everything we will do in heaven will be to bring glory and honor to God. And similarly, everything that we do here on earth should be to glorify our God with every fiber of our being. So we have to ask ourselves, am I glorifying God in my workplace, in my home, in my relationships? Or how about in my innermost thoughts? We can glorify God outwardly, but what about inside, what I'm really thinking, what's in my heart? Am I glorifying God there? Or are we more focused on creating a version of heaven here and now on earth that is basically built all around us and what we want and what will make us happy? We have this vision of the American dream of what possessions we will have, and in that way we'll have a little slice of heaven on earth. But author David Platt writes that the real danger of the American dream is that you might achieve it. You might get those things. You may have the dream job, the dream car, the house, the white picket fence, the kids and the dog. You might get all of these things and feel that you've achieved heaven on earth and then think, I don't really need God. I've got everything I want. I've got my heaven here and now. Now, you may have heard this question before, but it bears repeating. If you got to heaven and God wasn't there, would you be satisfied? And we have to ask ourselves that honestly and really think about it. If I got into heaven and God wasn't there, would I be satisfied? Now, you all know that occasionally my wife goes out of town and she visits family. And sometimes she'll take Lily Rose with her. So I had the house all to myself in that time, which at first seems awesome. I lay out in the bed and I'll spread across the whole bed in the middle. I'll eat all kinds of junk food, turn the TV up really loud, watch some kind of action movie, just blast the windows out of the house really loud. And at first it's really cool and I love it. But after a while, after a few days have passed, then I really start to miss her. She might call me and you know, there's a Hallmark commercial on or something, and it's like a really touching thing. She'll call me, well, how are you doing? I'm good, yeah, just, what are you doing, yeah. And you try to play it off, but the truth is, I do miss her when she's gone, and I miss my little girl when she's gone. My house is not a home without my wife in it. And similarly, heaven is not heaven without God in it, that we should long for that connection with God. We should have him as our focus. And when we turn our hearts heavenward, that should mean not just, well, I can't wait to get all these cool things in heaven, but I can't wait to see God, my creator, the one who's been there with me here on earth, to actually see him face to face. It can become so easy on this earthly life to put our focus on what we want out of life. But I guarantee you, when we get to heaven, there will be no mistake about that. Our focus will be continuously upon God. A lot of us will say, and I've said this too, when I get to heaven, I can't wait to ask Jesus this, and I can't wait to ask Jesus this and this. But I feel like maybe when we do get to heaven, it'll be Jesus who is asking the questions, that we'll be falling down on our face. We'll be more like Isaiah or Ezekiel, who fall on their face before God and let him do the asking. Maybe you've heard the old story that is not necessarily biblical. We take some things out of context here. When I was little, I was taught that we each get a crown, and however many people you lead to Jesus, that's how many stones you got in your crown. I don't know how many of you ever heard that. And of course, as a kid, you would think, well, I don't want to have less stones in my crown than the other people around me. I want to have as many stones. So it became kind of a motivational tool. But we put all this focus on what kind of crown, what kind of reward will I get in heaven. And I heard a man say once, it doesn't really matter how pretty my crown is. I'm going to throw it down at the feet of Jesus anyway. One author states that a lot of the descriptions that we have of heaven, it's like you're looking at it in a mirror. And when you look at something in a mirror, you're at the forefront. You're at the very front. Everything else is behind you. And as it moves away from you, it gets more and more fuzzy, less and less detail. And that is kind of how we look at heaven sometimes, isn't it? That it's all about me. It's all about what I'm going to enjoy, the people I'm going to get to talk to, the relationships I'm going to have, all of the cool things I'm going to get to do. But if we really did see heaven, if we really had a vision of heaven, or if we were to enter into heaven and somehow make it back to tell about it, we would be like Isaiah and Ezekiel. We would fall face down. We wouldn't come back talking about, hey, I saw my dead uncle. We talked about our favorite brand of soda or something. We wouldn't be talking about some mediocre little details of a relative long past. We would be saying, I encountered God. And you cannot believe, I can't even tell you, I don't know how to describe it, the way God was. We would come back just speechless, not even knowing, how do I describe to you what it was like to encounter God? When Brooke and I got married, I was so overwhelmed with love and emotion at this wedding. And here I am standing at the front, and Brooke is at the back, of course. I can't see her, but I know the part of the ceremony. The bridesmaids are going to come out, and when the bridesmaids come out, I know my bride is waiting behind her. And I got really emotional, and I just cried. And it wasn't like manly tears of like one little, oh, well, that's sweet. No, it was like ugly cry. You know what I'm talking about. It was not pretty. But I was so full of anticipation. And people picked at me and said, oh, he's crying because he knows his life is over. But no. I was crying because my life was beginning. When I saw the bridesmaids come out and the music changed, I knew my bride is waiting there. My bride is about to walk out, and she's going to be beautiful. And she was, and I lost it. I was so overwhelmed. I didn't even know what to say other than, yeah. I just bawled when I saw her. I was so overwhelmed with that moment. And I think when I get to heaven, that's what it's going to be like when I see God. That I'm going to be so overwhelmed. Aside from falling on my face, I'm just going to be crying. If Jesus does ask me something, I'm not going to be able to respond for a good like half hour at least. I'm just going to be crying. There's this old song that maybe you've heard that says, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, then we'll sing and shout the victory. And it's about seeing Jesus. It's about, that's when we sing and shout the victory. There's no mention in there of anything else other than when we see Jesus, that's it. That's the best thing that we can hope for in heaven. Nothing else compares to it. Now, I don't know if there's anything that you have maybe a hobby of that when you see this thing, you think, wow, I'm just overwhelmed by it. This is great. Maybe for some of you, it may be a Coach handbag or a Pandora jewelry or something that you see and you say, wow, that's beautiful. I really want that. Or maybe for some of you, it's a sports car or there's some new technology that comes out. I don't know if there's ever been a thing, like a physical thing that you've looked at and said, wow, I can't believe how cool that is or how beautiful that is. And you almost feel like the hair sticking up on the back of your neck or a little chill run over you. You're like, man, that is amazing. But if we think of that of a thing, how much more will we think that of God? Or maybe a person in your life, your spouse, your children, that when you see them, you think your heart skips a beat and you're just overwhelmed. And you think, wow, nothing else compares to this. And how much more will that be with God? It's all about God. It's not about us. This life here on earth and the life hereafter, it's not about us, it's all about God. And he will overwhelm us, and that love and that joy, it will be more than anything else we've ever experienced. And that is how we're gonna want it. Sometimes I think we picture heaven and we picture it as being a boring place, that we're just kind of sitting there on cloud nine, got a little harp, and say, well, okay, I guess I'll play a few strings for Jesus. But we're going to be taking in this overwhelming glory of God and marveling about that. And we're never going to get tired of talking about him. We're never going to get tired of singing his praise. We won't be talking about God just because it's in the appointed time on Sunday morning to talk about him. We'll be talking about God all the time. That's what we're going to want to do. He's going to be on our lips constantly. Like anything else that you've experienced, maybe you have a sports team that you're really enthusiastic about, and it just comes natural. You just talk about your favorite sports team. It's just what you do. You don't have to think, well, I better talk about it. No, it's just natural. That's what it's going to be like with God, that he's going to be on our lips, and we're going to be saying, can you believe the other day when God did this, or can you believe what God's done in the past? We're going to want to sing and shout that victory. So as you leave today, I want you to remember our purpose in heaven and on earth is to glorify God. And may our words and our actions all be gathered towards that goal. Now, you may not have a relationship with Jesus now. Right now, your life is just about you. It's that looking in the mirror with you as the foreground and everything else behind. But maybe you want the God of the universe to be at your focus and to realize that he has that relationship. He wants that relationship with you. Now, maybe you've strayed away from God. You know God. You have that relationship at one point, but maybe you've strayed away from God a little bit, and you want to return to the foot of his throne. We think about these visions of heaven that we've seen. It all revolves around the foot of God's throne. Maybe you want to return to the foot of God's throne. Maybe you'd like to join this church. Maybe you've been thinking about it for a while, and you want to join other Christians who are trying to gather around the throne, none of us being perfect, but all helping each other as we walk this life, walking towards God's throne, seeking to focus on him. We would love to speak to you as we sing this last song. Or if you don't want to come up during the song, that's fine. If you'd like to speak with Pastor Steve or I after the service, we would love to meet with you. If our singers could please come forward.